So that's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. As you're locating your place there, if you're able, please stand to your feet this morning as we read the Word of God together, and we stand in honor of the Word of God this morning. Isaiah chapter 9, and then verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's read together now, please. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us in coming to us in the form of man, giving us a way that we can spend eternity with you. Thank you. What a great time of the year to celebrate this. Now, Father, we ask as our pastor comes and preaches from this passage that you'd anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. We need to hear from heaven today, so we're asking that you would help us hear what you have for us. And Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that doesn't know Jesus, I pray they would accept him as their Savior from their sin this morning before they leave. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, we'll ask that you make sure your cell phones are turned off and that sort of thing, please, so we can have a few minutes of peace and quiet before the pastor starts screaming and hollering. We appreciate that very much. Sit still and listen very carefully. Now, it's the Christmas season. I know it's politically correct to say happy holidays because we need to encompass all of those religions that celebrate their own particular feasts and celebrations at this time of year. But Shasta Baptist Church never has been politically correct, and we never will be. It's Merry Christmas because we're celebrating the fact that Christ came to us. Now, we're almost certain that it was not December the 25th when he was born. I read all kinds of stuff on this to try and figure out when could we get an idea of when Jesus was actually born. Well, I think one of the reasons we don't actually know and it's not actually in the Bible is because people would celebrate and worship the day instead of the reason that Jesus came. What's important is Christ came to be with us. Christmas. Christ came. Christ came to be with us. That's what it's about. It's okay about the tree, and it's all right about Santa Claus and Rudolph and all that kind of stuff. It's all good. I mean, let's face it. If it wasn't for Christmas, we wouldn't have Christmas cookies. So there's a lot of reasons to celebrate overeating and all the rest of the stuff that goes on during the holiday time. But it's about Jesus coming to be with us. You know, his name's not mentioned, Jesus, until you get to the New Testament. Then it's mentioned 946 times in the New Testament. There are 246 different names for Jesus in your Bible, Old and New Testament. There are five of them right here in this one verse. And this morning we're just going to talk to you about, and his name shall be called Wonderful. It's one of the favorite expressions my grandmother always used. I mean, everything. Oh, that's just wonderful, Michael. This is wonderful. And whenever she said it, it always meant something special. And that's what the word wonderful means. It means miraculous. It means miracle worker. The word wonderful in the Bible means exceptional. Very uncommon, unusual. His name wonderful, the name wonderful in the Bible has expectations, beyond expectations. Now you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You go out and you buy a hamburger in a fast food place. We won't get on the insulting of In-N-Out right now this morning, if you want to actually call that a hamburger. Those are okay. I mean, you're out, you want a hamburger, you get something. And it's all right. But then you make one at home. Dwell on that moment now. You make one at home that you grill on your own grill. About 3/4 of a pound of hamburger meat. And you grill that properly salted and peppered. And it's got those grill marks on it. And you cook it enough so you get the E. coli out of it. Then you prepare all the fixings that go with it, the lettuce, the tomatoes. You cut your slab of cheddar cheese that's going to go on the top of that 3/4 pound hunk of meat that you're out there grilling on your grill. Nice size hamburger bun that you toast very gently. Mayonnaise, mustard. I like pickle relish, sweet pickle relish on mine. You put all that together with a slab of red onion. Can I get a witness on the red onion this morning? All right, now. And you pick it up, and it takes two hands. A good homemade hamburger does take two hands. And then you bite into that. And that nasty hamburger you bought when you went out somewhere that was okay has now become wonderful. Beyond expectations. You see, now how do you relate a hamburger to Jesus, Pastor Johnson? You haven't been around here very long. The truth of the matter is, I'm trying to draw an analogy. You know, we've all seen the sunrise and the sunset, but have you ever seen a wonderful sunrise or sunset? When I was up in the Arctic, stationed there, from middle November until February, we had 24-hour darkness. Never saw the sun. But while it was changing from daylight to darkness, you would get sunsets that would last 2 weeks at a time. And they were just beautiful. A little bit of clouds, the snow on the ground, and the clarity of the air up there. You want to talk about a wonderful sunset. See a magnificent sunset over a frozen Arctic lake that lasts 2 weeks. That's wonderful, exceptional, above expectations. The Bible tells us here in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, and I hope you do understand that this is a prophecy about Jesus, right? There's no question here. And the prophecy about Jesus is that his name shall be called Wonderful. Did you know nowhere else in the Bible is he called Wonderful again except here in Isaiah 9 and verse number 6? And it says his name shall, future tense, shall be called Wonderful. See, the people who would come to know who this is would come to know he is wonderful. Oh, and he is wonderful, yes? My soul, he is a wonderful Savior. I know he gets lost in the hustle of the season and the times and all the rest of that sort of stuff, and we're not here to decry all the commercialism of Christmas and how that Black Friday now is July the 12th and everything. I understand all that kind of stuff. And be honest with you, people, look at me. That does not ruin what Christmas is to me. It just doesn't. It's not going to affect what it means, because this is a time. We don't celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ. We celebrate that Jesus came to be with us. That's what the celebration is about. And I want you just to take today with you when you go home. I want you to consider that his name shall be called Wonderful, Miraculous, Miracle Worker, Exceptional, Above Exception, Very Uncommon as he is. And he is. For unto us, it says in Isaiah 9 and 6, and I want you to keep your Bibles open, please. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He is wonderful this morning because of what he would become. Would you consider this? Here, listen. God's plan to send us a Savior was to send us a child first. The whole reason that we make such a big deal out of the nativity, Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger as a child, as a baby. The whole reason we do that is because you need to get a hold of the concept that when God wanted to send us his son, he sent us a child first. How simple is that? You know, we would think, boy, I'll tell you, you're going to send a Savior to a world that needs salvation? We need to send him a king. Well, he did send us a king, but he didn't send us a king at first. He sent us a child. Consider that this morning, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son, came as a child first into this world. Now, he didn't start there. That's not where he began. Jesus existed before that. In your own Bible, right there in Isaiah 9, in verse number 6, of the five names that are given him, one of them is this, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus didn't come into existence when he came into this life. Jesus existed before that. The Bible says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself and became in the likeness of men, was made in the likeness of men. Amazing. Isn't it wonderful that God, what Jesus would become, to become what we needed him to be. He came to this earth to be our Savior and to die on the cross. We'll come back to that in a moment because that's the primary reason he came. But he also came to be a child. Why? So he could be born into this life. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. Remember, those are common rags now. When babies were born, they still call it swaddling the baby because they're used to being wrapped tightly in the mother's womb. And so they wrap them tightly when they first come into this world because they're more used to that environment as it was. But in those days, when they wrapped them in swaddling clothes, they wrapped them in common rags. They were their throwaways, clean rags, and they were cut in strips, and they wrapped the baby in that. But that was a poor man's rags. Well, the swaddling clothes is a picture of Jesus taking on the humanity of man, our old swaddling clothes of human flesh. He was willing to do that for us. He's wonderful because he was willing to become what we needed. But not only to become like us, but to become like us, to identify with us. Tempted in all points like as we are, the Bible says, yet without sin. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, you know, there's people today in religious worlds, they walk around people kissing their rings and bowing down to them and that sort of thing. When Jesus came to this world, he came here to be a man. Walk this earth like a human being. Know what it meant to be lonely. Know what it meant to be suffer loss. Know what it meant to be grieved. Know what it meant to have people reject him. And the Bible said he came into his own and his own received him not. He came to be just like us, to know what life was like, so he could identify with us and be faithful. You know, that's amazing when you think about that. People in religious worlds today, their leaders are so high above them and so far removed from them. They're considered almost deified in the way that they live, but they're just human beings. And here's God the Son becoming like us to walk this earth. Oh, he is wonderful for what he was willing to do for us, what he was willing to become, to set aside his rights and privileges as God and take upon himself the form of a man and walk this earth for us. You see the nativity scenes, my friend. Don't ever forget that little face baby there that they depict, that little child that's depicted in those nativity scenes. That's God the Son. He became a child unto us. A child is given. And he did that for us. You understand, this is not just about a great master plan of the universe. It certainly was, by the way. But the purpose is this: he came for you. Unto us, a child is born. Was Jesus a great leader? Absolutely. Was Jesus a great world figure? None greater, none higher. And this great world figure, this great world leader, he came as a child and is wrapped in swaddling clothes. They lay him in a manger. You know what a manger is, don't you? It's a feeding trough. He's born in a barn. We've been told that all of our lives when we go out the house and forget to close the door. Were you born in a barn, for goodness sakes? Jesus was literally born in a barn, laid in a manger trough. Ladies and gentlemen, stop to think the concept of what that means. You say, well, that just means how humble Jesus was. Yes, the Creator became like his creation. Yeah, he is wonderful. But he's because of what he was willing to do for us. He's wonderful because of what he provided for us. His name, Jesus. In your King James Bible there in Matthew chapter 1, when he's first given that name, I don't believe he was called by that name in heaven. I wouldn't fuss with you if you theologically disagreed with me about it. I didn't say he isn't called by that name now. I said he wasn't called by that name before he came to this earth. But his name would be called Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. And let me just tell you this morning, that's not a cuss word. That's not to be used as slang. That's not to be used in aggravation. That's not to be used when something doesn't go our way and we say, oh, Jesus, you better say that name with reverence and respect. Because the name Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, means Savior, salvation. God didn't send us a church, he sent us his son. God didn't send us a religion, he sent us his son. God didn't send us a baptistry, he sent us his son. God sent us in the person of Jesus Christ salvation. That's why neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I respect all religions. I respect their right to believe what they believe. I'm an American. I believe this country gives people the right to worship their God, deity, religion in whatever manner it means that they determine to be so. I believe that as an American, but as a biblical Christian, there is one way to salvation, and that one way is the person of Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing. I was talking with somebody one day, and I was explaining to them salvation, and they said, but what about the Jews? What about the Muslims? What about the Hindus? What about secularists? What about this? What about that? You see, they said, you see, it's not fair. God is excluding people by just making Jesus as the only way of salvation. And I said, no. You're seeing it the wrong way. You see, God includes everybody who's willing to come to God through Christ. It is people who exclude themselves. God doesn't exclude anybody from salvation. God made salvation one way so it would be one way to salvation. Instead of having all the many roads that lead to Rome. Now, I've been to Rome, and there are a lot of roads that lead to Rome. But the truth is, there's one way of salvation. Anyone who doesn't come the way God tells them to excludes themselves. God is made one way, and that way is Christ. You say, well, that's a politically safe answer, Brother Johnson. No, that's the biblical answer. You hear me. When it's all over and said and done, and you stand before God, and you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, trusting him alone for your salvation, you will not go to heaven. But it will not be because you didn't have a chance, especially you who sit here this morning, and those our friends who watch us on the internet today. Salvation is one way through Christ. You accept that and go to heaven, or you reject it and you wind up in hell. And it is you who excludes you, not God. Oh, he is wonderful in what he came to provide for us. I understand that there's 1,200 different Christian denominations in the world today. 1,200 of them. Can you imagine the confusion that people must have in their lives? Trying to figure out what's the right religion, what's this. But you see, Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. He came to provide the way of salvation. So we cut through all the junk and make it simple. Little girl went home from Sunday school one day, and her mother said, well, what happened at church today, sweetheart? And she said, well, Mom, I got saved at church today. She said, well, how did you do that? She said, I didn't do it. She said, I did the trust, and Jesus did the saving. Why is it that Jesus said, except you become like a little child, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven? Because children have a simple childlike faith in trusting Christ. They understand it's just trusting Jesus. They set aside the rites of religion. They set aside all the questions and doubts that we have. That's why the majority of people who do get saved as a youth. Because they don't have all the stuff that we have in our lives. But I don't care where you are today and where you come from this morning and how much you know or don't know. I can tell you this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Doesn't get any more simple than that. And I'm thankful today. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior for what he came to provide. A salvation I do not have to try to earn. A salvation I couldn't if I tried. A salvation that's provided for me. Hey, Jesus came from God to us, to this earth, to provide for us on the cross salvation and forgiveness. Oh, he is wonderful today because of what he would do. He was wonderful today because of what he will do. Look in your Bibles now at Isaiah 9 and 6 again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's already happened, by the way. He's already come, hasn't he? Now notice the statement in verse 6. Now look, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, but that hasn't happened yet. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Go to verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform this. That has not happened yet. Oh, by the way, you know what that's talking about? Oh, that's a day we're all looking for today. When Jesus Christ will return to this earth. And what he will do is this. Jesus will take this world back. He'll finally, once and for all, settle all matters, and then the government will be upon his shoulders. Then he'll sit on David's throne and rule and reign. You say, well, Pastor, do you really think that will happen? Isn't it fascinating that God, in the same verse who told us about what Jesus has already come, has already lived, has already died, has already ascended back to heaven. Isn't it interesting that in the same passage he tells us about what he's going to do? Then I know this morning, based on the authority of the Bible and historical fact, the Jesus Christ who came is coming again. And when he comes, then the government will rest on his shoulders. And when he comes, he will go to David's throne and rule and reign without the United Nations permission. And he will go there, and Jesus will set his foot down on this earth. And Jesus Christ will rule and reign forever and ever and ever, that thousand-year reign. And when it's all over and done, Jesus Christ, Lord of lords, King of kings. Oh, he's wonderful because of what he will do. Now, Christian, you look at me this morning. You get your head up. I know things are crazy in this world today. I was thinking about preaching on when the angels announced to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And I thought, I've heard people say so many times, see, Jesus came to bring peace to man. I thought, no, not in this day he didn't, but in that day he didn't either. Jesus didn't come to bring peace to man then. Came to bring peace for man to have peace with God. It seems like the world has gone crazy. It seems to me like I don't know how much more can a nation or a people go through the loss of violence in this nation and the foolishness of how blame is placed in certain ways. But it doesn't seem like anybody has the sense to step up and say, the problem is we have gotten so far from God that we have become people who are animal-like in what we do. They say, well, that's not me, Pastor Johnson. That's not me either. But it's insane. We go from everything from blaming guns. You know, I have a gun in my house. That gun's never killed anybody. Just amazing to me. Without children in the house, where the safety, take a loaded gun, set it on a coffee table in your house where there's safety and guarantee. That gun won't kill one soul in that house till somebody picks it up and shoots somebody with it. But nobody's blaming the shooter. They're blaming the guns. That's insanity. It's just crazy. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. That's like saying spoons make people fat. Just doesn't work like that, right? I would like to blame the spoons. I'm going home, throwing all my silverware out. The stink of silverware is making me fat. That's what the problem is. Hey, when somebody, well, look at me. When someone drives a car drunk and kills somebody, nobody's blaming automobiles. It's cars killing people. No, it's the idiot drunk behind the wheel that killed somebody. Let's get that straight in our minds. It's not an NRA rally, so just relax. But the truth of the matter is, you understand, man does not know the solution to the problem man has created. That's why Jesus is going to come back. By the way, you don't have to wait to have peace in your heart and peace in your life and peace in your home for Jesus to come back. You can have it now. You get right with God, live for the Lord, do what the Bible says. The world does what they do. We still have peace in our hearts. We still have peace in our home. We still have peace of God that passeth all understanding, that'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's okay. The world's gone crazy, but we haven't yet, have we? Got close in Walmart the other day. We won't go into that. Oh, but I don't know about you. But I look for that wonderful Savior who's coming again. Can't be too much longer now. Just can't be. Surely, our Savior will soon return and we'll go to be with him. Short period of time, we'll come back with him. And then the government will be upon his shoulders. And then every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Anytime my grandmother would see something, anything, simple, large, great, unbelievable, anything, didn't make a difference. She said, oh, that's wonderful. That's just wonderful. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Is he that to you this morning? Sometimes I think people have sort of lost the wonder of their lives. Some live a boring life. Some live an uninterested life. Some live a disappointed life. Some live a disillusioned life. Some live a life that seems to have no purpose, no hope, and no reason to it. I'm sorry for those dear people, because the truth of the matter is, in a world that's gone seemingly insane, I am very sane, and I know where I am, where I'm going, and what I'm doing. And do you know why? Because He is wonderful. And no one can ever change that. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.